We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. If you missed any of it so far, we've talked to the Riley County Extension from Kansas State University, and we also had Jerry Moran, the senator from Kansas, here on a little bit ago. We're going to replay that coming up here around 9:30 this morning. But for this segment, we are pleased to talk with someone from the T. Russell Wrights Animal Shelter, and we've actually got the Animal Control Officer, Brandon Sokol, joining us this morning. Brandon, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Brandon?
Very good. There's very few Brandons I ever get to talk to on this show, so it's kind of neat when that happens.
Yeah, I've been meeting a lot of Brandons, though, lately. Been thinking about changing my name to Voltron, actually.
That sounds like fun. We brought you on the program here today. Deb Watkins actually is the shelter director, normally joins us here in the program. She had a prior commitment, but I understand we're going to talk a little bit today about some after-hours calls here in the city of Manhattan and kind of what people can take advantage of there.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had some changes lately due to, you know, the situation, the COVID situation. Just trying to better utilize our resources and our time.
All right. So hours are adjusted right now for after-hours calls?
So an animal control officer typically is off around 6:30. So that's when the on-call status would start. And then that on-call status will go until the next animal control officer comes on the next day, the next morning at 7 a.m. So someone can get an animal control officer in an emergency by calling RC County PD, their non-emergency line, the 785-537-2112, extension 0. And they can get in contact with me or George Sears, and we can determine if an animal control officer is needed. Now, you know, those on-call call-outs, we want to focus on, you know, our goals as public safety and animal welfare. So if it's a situation that really can wait till the next day, rather than, you know, having the city pay out for us on that on-call status, we would maybe just do a speak with by phone, give some solutions or some options that way, and then set up a time to meet with that person the next day. Now, if it's something that's an emergency or there's an immediate threat to, you know, the public safety, we would absolutely go out on that.
All right. And I've got a list here of kind of the prioritized calls here for animal control. Obviously, dangerous dogs, aggressive dogs at large, that's those take priority right away.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so other things on that, dog and cat bite reports, if they're not current on rabies, that would be kind of the next step. And you're encouraging people by phone when possible.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of that stuff that we can do by phone and accomplish the same goal. You know, a bite report, if the animal's contained and it's current on a rabies vaccine, we can gather most of that information by phone and then follow up the following day. Now, if it's an animal, let's say, that's at large, that bit somebody, there's no vaccine status, that might be something that we need to go out on right away to either secure the animal, you know, get the in quarantine, start evaluating it and observing it right away so that, you know, the person, whoever got bit, we can make that determination right away whether they need to start doing the post-exposure rabies vaccine.
All right. You guys do a number of calls here for animal complaints. Bats in homes, that always gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't like bats. Even though Batman's my favorite superhero, I don't care for bats especially. But how common is that here in our city?
You know, there's quite a few older buildings in town that do have bats. So I would say I get a couple of them each week. If the bat's outside your house, you know, you definitely just kind of give it space. It'll go on its way. We don't do like really a lot of removal. So if it's something you have like a infestation, or the bats are roosting in the house, or they're in the attic someplace that, you know, we can't go, we would have to then refer you to like a pest removal service or a wildlife removal service. But as far as just like a bat flying in your house, like an isolated incident, yeah, absolutely. I would show up and take that bat out. And those are honestly some of my favorite calls, because usually people aren't that thrilled to have the bat, so then I get to almost be a little bit of a hero. I show up and I snatch the bat real fast, and then maybe we'll just take him and release him. Or if, you know, there's some concern that that bat could have caused a rabies exposure, we can't account for it the entire time it was in the house, you know, maybe someone was sleeping in that room, then we would have it tested at K-State for rabies. So, I mean, that's would definitely fall under that public safety.
All right. And, of course, a lot of animals probably do get referred to vet med, sick and injured and others like that.
Yeah, so we would go out for, you know, like a hit by car animal or something that is injured. But another option for people and then for us after hours would be the K-State emergency room. If I, you know, God forbid we found a dog that was injured and needed that immediate care, we would definitely be contacting K-State.
All right. You know, we're speaking with Brandon Sokol, animal control officer here with the City of Manhattan. On T. Russell Ride's Animal Shelter segment here on In Focus. I understand you guys are down an officer right now, and that's due to budget cuts?
Yeah, we lost Dawn late 2019, and we just haven't been able to replace him. Don't know if we'll ever fully be able to replace Dawn. He was a great animal control officer, a great person to work with, but we're hopeful that in the future we'll be able to hire that. But at the moment, yeah, me and George are getting along pretty well, so that's not a problem. I think we still are putting adequate coverage into the county with the two officers that we have.
As far as this time of year being summertime, do you see a lot of animals getting out here, and if so, what's kind of your message out there when it does start to heat up?
You know, I think actually when it gets super hot, a lot of the animals just kind of stay where they're at. They're not as active when it gets super hot. But if you're going to, you know, have your dog outside, definitely just make sure you have some shelter for them. They can get out of the elements, out of the sun. Always provide plenty of water. We're getting a lot of calls actually for dogs left in vehicles right now. So we just definitely want to warn people about that. You know, the temperature in the car can rise very, very quickly. So if you absolutely have to bring your dog into town, consider leaving the vehicle running with the windows cracked, the AC going. Definitely give that dog some water so it has that available to it if it's waiting in the car. As far as, you know, just trying to keep your animals from getting at large, always having them on a leash, making sure that the fence is secure, that kind of thing. A microchip is vital for us to getting animals back to people, because that's one of our main goals, you know, is making sure that we're able to reunite that animal with their family. Microchipping is pretty inexpensive. You can do it here at the animal shelter. You can do it at almost any vet office. A lot of times you can do it without an appointment. Here at the shelter, you can just walk in and ask to purchase a microchip, and it would take us less than 5 minutes. And that way, you know, if we ever find the dog or cat, one of the first things we do is we scan them, and that microchip number is a useful tool to reuniting animals with families. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a big part of what the shelter does. And Deb sent over some statistics here to us. Looks like 11 dogs, 53 cats, and 4 rats are currently housed at the animal shelter.
Yeah, and that number is always fluctuating. Right now, the cats number is going up quite a bit. I think just one of these days this week, I think we took in 15 cats. I mean, a lot of those are kittens, but it's just right now it's kind of that kitten season. You typically see two bumps, one at the beginning or the end of spring, beginning of summer, and then at the end of summer, beginning of fall, there's another spike in kitten population. So we're kind of in the middle of those two, but the population of cats is going up. Dog population, we're doing very well, but we also have a Clear the Shelters event coming up in August 8th and August 15th. Those are Saturdays. We'll be doing a national sponsored event where adoption fees will actually be waived. So if you've been thinking about maybe adopting an animal or just kind of curious at what we have, those 2 days, yeah, would be a good day just to come in and kind of see what we've got. And if it works out and you meet a good pet that's going to fit in with your family, your adoption fee could be free.
Cool. That's always a good deal. And of course, those kittens go fast. So they're $100 for the adoption fee, and they come fully vetted.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, some of those kittens might be under 4 months of age, so they're not old enough for a rabies vaccine. Mm. So they're fully vetted for their age group. But yeah, for $100, that's you're getting a lot for that price. Absolutely.
All right. Shelter hours currently, what, Monday through Saturday?
Monday through Saturday, 1 p.m. to 5:30 p.m.
All right. And required to wear masks per the city ordinance?
Yeah, we're absolutely encouraging people to wear masks. We have some here at the front. So if, you know, I know I've gotten to places and I've misplaced my mask. So if that were to happen, we do have some at the front desk. Just, you know, go ahead and ask us and we're more than willing to give you one.
All right. You know, a lot of people are curious about the alligators still roaming around in Wildcat Creek. Do you have any information on that? Have you guys been able to spot them?
You know, I haven't really had any updates over the last week. I haven't seen it personally in a bit. The city, you know, really just kind of felt like we didn't have the resources to put into getting that alligator out of there. We took some advice from Parks and Wildlife. They were not super concerned for it. I don't think it poses a lot of threat to human safety or even pet safety. It's not going to become invasive. The population's not going to be growing from it. It's fairly isolated. So we're kind of, you know, put a low priority on it. If we were able to get to it, I think we would. I know I certainly would love to, but at the same time, we definitely just want to follow the direction of you know, our managers and Parks and Wildlife. And so at this point, it's not a threat. So we're just kind of letting it hang out. I did see though there was an online poll to possibly change the high school mascot to a gator. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah. it's gotten a lot of traction lately. A lot of people are, I think, they're more amused than anything with this whole gator situation. So
yeah, absolutely. Did you get your Manhattan Gator T-shirt?
Oh, that's right. That I haven't gotten one yet. I've heard about this. This is a kind of a fundraiser for the shelter, right?
Yeah, yeah. A gentleman went ahead and took it on his own accord to make some T-shirts, and he gave half the proceeds to the animal shelter. I wish I could tell you his name off the top of my head. It really gave us quite, you know, I think he gave us $1,200 on the first round of donations. So, you know, shout out to that guy. I think that was a great idea, and the staff got quite a few of them as well. So I've worn it a few times. I think it's actually a pretty sharp looking T-shirt.
Awesome. Well, we have somebody who's called in here, and we're almost done with the segment, but we'll go ahead and take a call here. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yeah. Good morning. You're animal control.
Yes,
there
sir.
A special reason that all over the West Loop area and the Candlewood area and the downtown, there's rat traps around? Do we have a rat problem in Manhattan?
You know, I've seen a couple of deceased rats. I haven't really seen too many of the rat traps, so this is actually kind of a new inquiry for me. I wouldn't say we have a rat problem, but typically wherever humans are, mice and rats will follow. So one thing that people can do to try and deter them from their yard and their house is just making sure that you don't have brush piles or junk piles, food left out. You know, if you're feeding like cats or dogs outside, not overfeeding them to where the food's on the ground, so then that would attract those rodents. You know, making sure that the house is secure and that there's not trash outside. Those types of things will help deter those rodents, but yeah, I think they're just kind of ubiquitous wherever humans are.
Okay, there's another thing I discovered recently. You're probably aware of this. There's a state law that says cats, there's a leash law for cats. The reason being is because they get in gardens and dig and deposit feces there, and they also kill birds. The Audubon Society is the one that got it in. Mm-hmm. Is that being enforced at all?
So Manhattan doesn't really have a leash law on cats. What we do have is a nuisance law. So if we can establish that a cat is a nuisance to a property or causing, you know, immediate threat to the safety of other animals or people, then we could, you know, definitely work at trapping that cat or finding the owner of the cat and holding them responsible. But as far as like enforcing stray cat laws, no, the city doesn't take that position.
All right. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And, Brandon, thank you for giving us an update here. And if people have any questions, how can they get a hold of you guys at the shelter?
Yeah, they can just go ahead and give the shelter a call at 785-537-2783. Our staff here is super helpful and knowledgeable. If they have questions for animal control, they can certainly get in contact with us by calling RC County PD's non-emergency line. That's the 537-2112 extension 0.
Awesome. Well, Brandon Sokol, we appreciate the time here today, and we'll talk to you guys again next time.
Excellent. Thank you, Brandon. You have a great day, sir.
You too. Stay tuned. We'll have more in focus. We'll have a replay of the interview with Senator Moran after this.